This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Many
years ago.
So, little context. Many years ago.
Kevin, check off that Hayes started this one. I know we like to try to keep it balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start the last one or I did?
It's probably me. One of my dear
professor of film.
Mm.
He was the writer of, we have a film guy with us today, the movie Groundhog Day.
Wow.
And every week we'd say, Professor, how'd you come up with that crazy groundhog that I like all those, all the funny ideas.
Yeah.
And he was very sharing of all of his stories and his
lessons that he learned. It must have transformed in some ways too.
Did it flip him out that every week he would come to class and you would ask him the same question over and over again. As if you were stuck in some sort of.
How did you come up with that crazy groundhog?
Groundhog mm-hmm. date style time loop.
And every, so during the year and the leading up to February 2nd, he would say, okay, everyone, just so you know, we're supposed to have class on that day. I will not be coming to class. I have booked between 7 and 10 speaking engagements.
90% mm-hmm. of my income comes from
every
one day
year.
Of,
yeah. It's yeah. like Black Friday
yeah.
for him. Like he needs to be on, he's like flying around the entire country on that day.
I don't think it is
day.
Like Black Friday.
I think Black Friday
is when things are available at an extreme discount.
Yeah, he's hiking up his cost yeah. of that day.
And no, but that's true.
Sure, price
but that's when
up.
They get
it's
in.
Probably like Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
But the rest
right
of the,
before things become inexpensive.
The most expensive day of the year.
Yeah.
But that's when a lot of retailers go into the black. They're, yeah. you know, they operate a deficit for most of the year. And just the amount of the volume of traffic.
From yeah. that yeah. side of it.
Yeah, yes. interesting. I would, if I were trying to compare the phenomenon you're describing to one annual occurrence, a mm-hmm. day of the year that has a little special juice on it.
Yes.
I would almost say it sounds like a Groundhog Day type situation.
Well, it does to me because it's when he pops out of his hole.
This is also,
to do all his speaking.
Exactly.
To me,
no one fucking Punxsutawney Phil the other 364. Mm-hmm.
The comparison I would make is Griffin Newman every year on draft day.
Oh my
Let's
God.
Just be honest about why we have him here today. Today mm-hmm. is draft day.
That's
The NFL draft is happening tonight.
He's going to pretend he didn't know.
Griffin,
I knew it was the day, but I didn't put together the math.
Mm-hmm.
Of Griffin's, you guys, you tricky fucks, locking me down on my most valuable day of the year.
It's midnight to midnight
yeah.
every mm-hmm. year, and yeah. we got him. We had to book him way in advance to get Griffin on draft day. Ooh, mama.
Huge. And you guys, it's a full 24-hour hold you placed on me.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't do the math.
We own your ass.
Yeah. Can I set some stakes up for this episode?
Please. I mean, that would be so refreshing for me. I feel like I always have to do that. Hayes starts it, and then I'm like, okay, but he didn't set the stakes.
No.
This won't be resolved within this episode. This will need to be some sort of follow-up in some form at some point. But today is draft day,
mm-hmm.
and I'd say maybe 4 to 5 months from now, when the residual cycle has costed itself out.
Green envelopes.
It's truly like clockwork. This year, mm-hmm. it's a real, am I going to hit health insurance or not? And wow. I'd say the draft day bump is probably
it's
the big
question. Draft day.
I can see it
getting a little runoff.
People talk about the people lucky enough to be in your Christmas pictures, your Groundhog Day pictures.
Right.
Movies that have a pop one day out of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're lucky enough to be in one of those annuals, it kind of keeps you afloat.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And Don't Draft Day, a movie that lost so much money in theaters.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is now making so much money for Griffin.
It's insane. And for me only.
Yeah.
I gave up. I said, don't pay me anything. Give me the points. I'm betting long term on this thing.
Back end, baby.
I said, I'm a back end baby.
First dollar gross.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the podcast is like. You talk about things like that.
Yes. I talk mostly about my residuals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so popular. People I mean, love and that. We talk about this all the time, yeah. Translucency.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how important that is now. And that for a long time, it was this kind of black box. Mm-hmm. And no one knew what happened inside the world of show business.
Yes.
But and that we are sort of the first ones to say,
yes,
here's some of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the public loves that.
Well, it's probably the most interesting thing to them is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I have found that to be true. It served me well through my entire career, which I'm at the tail end of.
Yes.
Which is like, hey, nothing to sneeze at, right?
But much like the writer of Groundhog Day or the eighth lead of Draft Day, you hit your career peak. And then you get to really have fun spending decades coasting off of the juice of what you did in your prime. And for that's going to be decades of talking about how you negotiated room rates, you know?
Oh, yes.
Moved up in your... What was your first story editor credit? What was that conversation like?
Yes.
How many people were CC'd on the email?
Well, I skipped ESE. I don't want to step on the speaking engagements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So story editor, executive story editor, co-producer, jumped over it.
That is fucking
ESE.
Wild.
Not on the resume.
Yeah.
Was he not good enough to be an executive story editor? No, he was too good.
No,
too
good. I skipped a grade. Problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They had to move me up.
That is wild.
Yeah. No, it was fucking heady, brother.
Yeah.
I was like... I couldn't appreciate it at the time how nuts it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, now at the tail end of my career, I do kind of get to look back and go like, we did all right.
He called me in like slow played it, just like kept it straight the entire time. He was like, oh, I'm just calling to catch up.
I
like,
wish we had known each other back then.
Like, what's going on? Like,
I'm glad we didn't because honestly, Hayes is one of the only people I knew back then who I am still friends with.
Yeah, different guy back then.
I became something of an enfant terrible.
Yeah,
when that contract came through.
This is another thing people don't talk about is like you got to get big and then you got to get humbled. And you want to make it through the other side.
That's part of the
with
process.
Some talent. Yeah.
Nobody gets to skip that.
No. No, you can skip over story
editor.
You
can skip ESE, but you cannot skip the enfant terrible.
You can't. You know, it's funny cuz it's like
that means terrible baby for anybody.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Who doesn't speak French.
Worst fucking baby.
He went through a terrible baby.
Yeah.
I became just a terrible baby.
Adam McKay, I think, one of our greatest inspirations, right? I mean, not to speak for all three of us, past and future guests, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a guy who's had so many interesting...
He wants to, yeah.
Okay,
he's circling us. Mm-hmm. When can I get back on?
Aspiring
and
future
it's just
guests.
Like, the timing is like, he wanted to do a Draft Day episode. It was like, oh, I think we got a better...
Don't fucking pull
for that, buddy.
Cash out of my pocket, Adam.
No, fuck him.
But a man who's had like so many interesting tendrils of his career, right? And you go like sketch comedy writer and then like blockbuster comedy director, serious, probing, like dramatic, but with like a little bit of a bite, like a comedic bite, a wink.
Yes, it's
a
slightly
smirk,
askew.
Oscar winner.
Take the story and just, and people, if people watching, they'll be able to see me tilt my head.
Just a little and askance.
But if I looked at it this way. And suddenly it's entertaining and it's also still making you think, maybe making you think about something you believed you understood.
And he's telling me things that I genuinely never knew before, like that George W. Bush was president. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, isn't the news supposed to be educating me?
Well, that went out the window quite some time ago.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
No, come on. We're not watching the news for information anymore.
We're not.
What are we watching it for?
TNA.
Tits and applesauce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And applesauce is my term for punani.
I always
What's on the news, that's what's guys. On the news. Unfortunately, this is the way society has gone. And by the way, you know, make a good movie about it, Adam McKay.
This is the problem,
yeah.
Griffin. Mm. What I mean, we think of the podcaster's oath.
Sure, yeah. Which we take every day.
First, do no harm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The industry, I mean, like, I don't know if they talk about this like in front of you or if this is just like conversations that we're part of in industry
circles.
They might
kind of keep it away from you.
Interesting.
But
because out of fear or out of sort of like compassion, do you think?
I don't think you can separate the two.
Okay.
I don't know if you.
Because I do think they're worried about you. You're a truth teller.
This is
true. But they also are worried about you.
Because the second oath, of course, is tell no lies. Do no harm, tell no lies, make them laugh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
First, do no harm. Second, tell no lies. Third, make them laugh. The damage that you are doing to the movie industry by saying, hey, everyone, let's think about all these movies that already happened before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
It's the canon.
I'm not looking
right?
forward.
Let's go to the library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Where, meanwhile, the industry is saying, hey, we have a new movie.
Right.
The library is such a good example because the small bookstores.
Yes.
Yes.
Not doing so hot.
No.
And it's because of the monstrous library.
Yes.
I mean, and Wither.
A vicious invention.
Wither the video rental store, you know? I mean, we don't talk about this, but I've been...
It literally is basically closed in some places.
I mean, look, I'm a New Yorker. I'm here visiting, right? I've been driving around town.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I can't find
What kind of wheels you got?
Lift Green. I cannot find a Blockbuster for my life. And I remember coming out here, and you couldn't throw a fucking stick without landing in one.
Yeah. I think he also was lifting a little green right before the show.
Gets pretty heavy after a couple. Gets heavier and heavier.
It lightens up, too, after every monster.
It gets lighter.
It gets heavier.
It gets heavier, but it also gets
heavier,
a little lighter.
It gets a little lighter because this guy's fucking draining that
thing. And I should acknowledge that's obviously the other day of the year where I really make my bank.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
There are two things I'm an expert on that people want to call me in to sort of look back and look forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of the library, which I'm good at all year round.
420 in draft day, which is roughly April. I mean, it's April 24th this year. So that's a rough week.
It's a tonic week. Brutal week. Well, and
no,
it's
it sucks. You wish you could spread them out.
Right. And on 420, I'm getting low. But on draft day, I got to be sharp.
Yes.
Because I'm usually making the rounds and people are like, who's going to go first? Who's going to go second? Who catches the best? And I need to like know all of
that. And as part of the performative element like that you have to do, you basically have to do the combine like throughout the entire day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Running.
Make me play.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And I'm like, this is a day where they're not playing.
Right.
They get to sit on the couch with their family, holding hands,
crying.
They put
on a suit.
Yeah.
And just get, you know, this is like a night on the town. And for you, it's the freaking Super Bowl.
It is, really. The most exercise those guys are doing, ironically, professional athletes, the most exercise they're doing on this day is shaking hands and lifting up jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
Whereas for you, that would be.
I'm doing the thing where you have to run and the tire's in front of you and one foot has to go in one tire and the other tire. And it's not just you're moving back and forth in the two shifting weight. You're also moving
forward. Yeah.
And because of who you are.
Two tires.
Yeah.
You're just
two tires.
I could do that.
Okay.
I could do that.
But you're moving forward. And because of who you are, too, You're also cracking wise.
That's the thing.
I mean, he gets out of that thing every year and goes, I'm really tired.
Yeah.
And I am going, you know, I'm waiting. Is he going to do it? And he does it and he's out of breath. You know, you kind of can't understand it.
Yeah.
But God damn, if I don't end up laughing.
I don't want to give myself too much credit, right? But even on a day like that, I'm making a TV appearance. It's not technically a podcast. Even though most podcasts are pivoting to video, even though the line is sometimes hard to identify, it's not technically a podcast.
Technically, no, it's not.
But I am inherently a podcaster.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter
and
if I'm
And you are saying off. Something.
I am.
Yeah.
And so every morning I'm
but
making...
it's available as a podcast, too.
It will eventually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It all either starts as a podcast or becomes a podcast, right? And I wake up every morning and I say the oath whether or not I'm going to fucking strap in behind the mic.
Yeah.
So on a day like that, they throw the mic in front of me after I've done the tire thing where once again, I'm not staying in place. I am moving forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I go, ooh, I'm pretty tired. Yeah. What am I doing in one sentence, in three words, one contraction?
Yeah. What are you asking?
I'm doing no harm.
Doing no harm. Okay.
I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm making them laugh.
And he's making them laugh.
I haven't hurt anyone by doing the tire thing.
Just saying I'm really tired.
I'm telling people how I feel, honestly. Mm-hmm. And you're there busting a darn gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not doing any harm.
It's not.
Yeah.
But what are we doing about how do we stop you from doing so much harm as you're doing now to the movies that you
claim to
love? Because
the movies are having some trouble.
This is true.
And I believe there was one set of guests who actually tried to celebrate a new filmmaker and to not come in and just talk about everything from a million years ago.
Well,
This old dead fuck was using a Dutch angle. And do you remember when this dead motherfucker was doing all the cameras on this other dead bitch?
Yeah.
Like.
And the streamers are loving
that's
it.
The show.
Because all the dead bitches are on the streamers.
They have them.
And
they
so they're
the
coming
catalog.
And jizzing and nutting. Because you want to see all these dead bitches.
Yeah.
Criterion Collection is working so hard for it's like living the role and like, space in the 70s and all these categories. Here's the categories. Dead bitches, dead motherfuckers. That's every fucking collection.
Yeah.
Just slap six or seven together.
No, you're right. That our show
you already got my money.
Our show, usually the narrative is like people who had massive success, right?
Uh-huh.
Their career built and it grew and then it got to the place where they really proved themselves. And now we live, in the wake of the work they got to do once the industry backed the fuck off and said, I guess you know what you're doing. And I do think, and I wasn't sure we were going to do this today because obviously there's so much on the plate. We need to talk more about draft day.
We're
I need to get back to the Adam McKay point I was winding up 10 minutes
today.
Ago. But I think we do need to take some responsibility here. We probably, the three of us, be responsible for putting a bullet in the head of the most promising young director's career in Hollywood right now because we were grading him on the scale of an old master, of someone who already knew the Dutch angles, and he was still developing the language.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed up 7 or 8 years later.
Yeah.
The body's still fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we just kind of made a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what's so crazy. Here's what's so crazy. It's a damn girl. It's a she.
The body?
The most promising young director.
You know what? We thought we were being nice and kind and funny and cute and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out we were a couple of Bo Burnhams and promising young woman and you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Because we
that's big facts.
There's a guy named Joe who just tried to hit record.
Yeah.
Take after take, cut it together, art a montage.
Wolf in cheap clothing, right? Oh, this guy didn't spend much on his outfit. He must not be a wolf.
Yeah.
Wolves always got a lot of dough slinging around there, all decked out, right?
Wearing furs. You know how I always say you can spot a wolf? Look for the sheep.
Oh,
you know?
Baba. Have you done a McKay series?
Not yet.
And so the studios are considering that, aren't they? They're saying, okay, McKay, not yet. Like, it's coming. We all know it's coming.
Come on. Yeah.
And so, eventually, like, the studios right. are going to make something.
Yeah.
If they bring in McKay to do it, okay, yeah. maybe it's, like, not going to, like, all movies are failing right now.
Yeah. No movie
so,
is
like,
successful.
Obviously, this is probably going to eat shit right now. But yeah. eventually,
yes.
the you're going to point all the blankies toward it.
Yeah.
And it's going to recoup.
Yes.
We'll all be dead.
Right.
But, like, it is going to, you know.
No,
it's gonna,
it is.
Like, throw me on the Criterion Channel at that point. I'm at yeah. the tail end of my career anyway. I'm going to be another dead motherfucker.
Yeah.
And so it's only, the only opportunities are available now for the ones that are eventually, and also anyone who's already been done by you.
Yes.
Is like, that's it. There's
they're
nothing
done.
More to be wrung out of them.
Yeah.
Like they've made all the money that they're going to make.
I feel
what, are you
going to
go back again for...
But this is the point. I feel bad anytime we cover someone because I'm like, we basically just fucking...
You just threw dirt on them.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. sent the Grim Reaper right to your door.
Yes.
It's over. Yes. Narrative concluded.
The Blankies picked them clean.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Yeah.
And it is Blankies. It's,
yeah.
It's security Blankies.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a safe mm-hmm. space.
And they're sucking on it. They're smelling it.
Yeah.
There's little pee-pee on it.
Yeah. Like, they're wiping off spittle with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
dusty.
It's tough.
It's dusty.
This is what I was going to say about McKay. I love all his work, right? And
okay.
I anything that comes out of his pen.
Oh, sounds like an interesting, interesting series of podcasts. He loves everything.
I love anything that comes out of his pen.
This is what they do. This is good.
But if you ask me what's his most important work.
This part was good. No, this is the fucking show.
You know which part I like?
This is what the Blankies are saying.
The part that came after the part we just talked about. That's me doing an impression of myself.
It's true. That's
yeah.
the show.
No, it is.
That's
it is,
oh, we
it's
have
actually,
to talk about the next part.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I do sometimes if I really want to flip people out? I'm like, jumping ahead. I know this isn't the next part, but I want to talk about this, and then we'll go back to the other part.
I start skipping forward.
Yeah.
Because I think you're giving me instructions.
Mm.
And then I'm like, wait, like now I'm too far ahead.
And then I say, okay,
then I
slow
go
down.
Back.
Let's slow down and you hit 0.5x. And now the podcast is crawling.
What's the movie that you thought was the best, the most important one?
Of all time?
That he did. You
that
started
did.
To say.
What I'm saying, this is the radical twist of what I've been setting
yeah,
up.
Yeah, because you've been okay. building up to something.
You were talking about translucency, right?
Okay.
And needing yeah. to break open the black box of this industry. I think his work is great. But
okay.
I think the best thing Adam McKay ever did
okay.
wasn't a movie.
Okay.
Weren't a sketch.
Okay.
Wasn't a think piece.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ain't no podcast he produced.
What?
Okay. It was 7 years of constant interviews explaining why Anchorman 2 wasn't happening because they hadn't come up with the right deal package to reunite the cast.
That's a movie?
It wasn't.
Oh, you said it wasn't.
Yet.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
This is
right.
what I'm saying. Seven
no,
years.
Saying,
yes,
this is
he,
a
said,
podcast.
He said it
right.
wasn't a movie.
7 years.
It was a podcast he produced?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
it
in a way.
That.
Tell me what
no,
it wasn't.
He said, no, he said that it wasn't that.
Tell me what it wasn't.
It wasn't anything but a narrative we were observing piecemeal
yeah.
constructed.
Was it a sketch, though?
It was it not.
No. Oh, it was not. Okay.
It was not.
Okay.
But it could become any of these things. Like, it could be Serial Season 5.
Why?
Why?
Yes.
Because the great stories,
mm-hmm.
right? The sort of core stories mm-hmm. are modern-day mm-hmm. mythology, like the Joker. They need to be told over and over again in different mediums
mm-hmm.
through different perspectives because they tell us things about ourselves. And Adam McKay, for 7 years, would sit down with, like, a Latino Review, a Hugo, a Dark Horizons, and they'd just be like, what's the funniest?
And those are three different
yeah.
things?
Yeah, and people forget this.
Okay.
Right? This is like library content I'm trying to direct people back to.
Uh-huh.
And they'd be like, Anchorman 2, that'd be fun, any chance? And he'd be like, they're asking me to explain back-end sweeteners. He knew that what that journalist was actually asking him was
they
a full breakdown
the deal package.
Of packages for stars.
I think about it and I realize this guy's influenced me in more ways than I thought. Because
yeah.
as I sit here talking about, and I hate to bring it up again, skipping the ESE level.
This is what made me think of
you
it.
Sure
in,
I heard
in
this
my
phone
ascension
call.
To COVID.
I wish I had known him back then. Wish I'd been on the call list.
That
what I'm really doing is I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, because McKay had already talked a little bit about the contracts, the deals, the complex structures that we all engage in. People go, oh, showbiz, it's so fun, right? It's, oh, it's goofing around with your friends and making them laugh. That's some of it.
That's some of it.
That's some of it.
That's some of it.
That part is fun.
That isn't.
But it's also, but there's also deal points.
Deal points.
Right?
Yeah. And when those journalists are saying to him, I thought Anchorman was funny, any chance you do another one, he could read through the question. Which wasn't just I'd like to laugh again.
They don't want to. They don't want to know if you're doing another one. But they want to know if you do another one. What's got to get hammered out between some of these stars,
exactly,
and the studios as well?
Because we know what Carell's. We know what Carell's quote is now. He's third lead in this. They're not going to pay him leading man rate. He's got to do this for love of the game, but the game has to pay him back at some point. So is there going to be a kicker, right?
Yeah,
that
what it is,
the game was baseball.
That was base and Kevin Costner.
So those
Carell wasn't in that
kicker,
but it was Kevin. I'm just tying the threads together.
Yeah,
but what they had to do, and it's a little like your draft day deal.
Yeah,
they had to do what I call the mullet contract.
Mm-hmm. Party up front.
Oh, it's a real short in the front.
Yep.
Yeah. Wait. You think that's a party?
Yeah, because I think
parties are short.
The parties, I think, the
parties
best
have gotten
short.
Really short. Okay. Am I the only one?
Yeah, right. And I think a film set is like a party. If you're there with fucking Koechner, Rudd, Carell, and Ferrell, you might as well grab some noisemakers and little pointed hats with very weak elastic strings, because that's a party every day. And I don't know about you guys, I don't tend to get paid well for going to parties.
And business is long. I'm very long on business.
Business takes me forever.
No. I am invested very heavily in business.
And it's taking
it's the future
so
looking
long.
Very bright for my business.
People are talking more and more about business these days.
Business has started to be one of the most prominent topics
that
people explore.
Because for a while
and
it
financially,
was like,
yes, right?
Yes, this is the thing.
Business has had a massive influence on the markets.
Mm-hmm.
This is financially truthful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The social compact dictates, that when you engage in business, which can take a long time, financially, the markets will see that return.
Yeah.
But you don't get to decide when.
No.
And you don't get to decide how much or where.
No. There's so much money flowing through business at all times.
It's exploding, but it's also trickling.
It's like oil. You don't know where to sort of like... fucking
well, not just like
fracking.
Oil, it is oil
it is
sometimes.
Oil. And that's this is the thing. It's like
oil. And it's just and olive oil.
It's its own business.
Yes.
Olive oil investors.
No, you can actually sell that.
Yeah.
Who did we have that sold that?
We did have someone that
I think Haley Joel Osment
has been selling olive oil.
He was like Haley Joel olive oil because he has some sort of olive oil business. Mm-hmm. So it's like and by the way, smart.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Yeah.
You think of him as show business.
You think,
and now that's
think
what,
of him as the
what used to be the side gig is now the main hustle.
Now it's your main.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got to keep coming up with new side hustles that keep turning into my main gig.
Right. And my career, by the way, that's become my side piece.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kevin O'Leary on Shark Tank casually mentioned in an episode recently.
As well.
Say that.
He's another Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay, say less.
Mentioned in another episode
recently
that he's been investing big time in olive oil, that he thinks olive oil is going to start appreciating like wine.
Mm.
And he's got an olive oil cellar. And he will someday become the seller of his rare olive oils to the tune of mucho dinero.
Mucho
tuna fish.
Yeah, tuna fish.
To the tune of ish.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math, I had 5 million, each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Hollywood Handbook.
Have you ever considered, I mean, like, directors... is like the main thing right now. It's all directors.
Storytellers. I mean, I think of first and foremost, but yeah, sure.
That's the show that like you think it's storytellers. You actually think that because like everyone else thinks it's all directors that you've been doing basically, but you think that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I
listened to the show. You don't say that.
No, it's subtextual. I do feel like, you know, what are filmmakers but are modern day cavemen telling stories by the fire, you know?
Okay.
And I'm like, I feel like, and this isn't, hey, Reddit, don't fucking post this. This isn't a spoiler, but I'm saying I could.
But modern day cavemen are not telling stories by the fire.
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying
they're at the airport
tomorrow.
They're trying to save on car insurance. I mean, the modern day cavemen. Now, ancient cavemen.
Yeah.
I mean, modern day cavemen, they see fire,
they do.
And it actually makes them freak out.
They are concerned.
Curious. They're otherwise like quite normal, and then they see fire when and they start barking.
They're really conversational.
Yes. Yeah.
They wear common day clothes.
Yes.
I feel like tomorrow I could announce, oh, our next miniseries is on a caveman.
Is it common day clothes?
Yo, this is making me think.
Right? And if people said, that's not your show, I'd be like, is it not my show? Is that not what it's been the whole time?
Let me finish.
Please.
This is making me think. Y'all should do me on that show. That's actually kind of fucking sick, though.
Wait a second.
Yo,
a
y'all second. Should do me on that
Wait
show.
Wait a second.
That's kind of fucking sick, dude.
People at first would be like, what's up? What the fuck? Like,
no
they'd be
way.
Like,
yeah.
They'd be like, Are you fucking with us or something? Right. But I think that actually people would fuck with it like pretty fast once they actually heard like some of the shit that you could actually choice. Do.
Yeah. We'd make the announcement and they'd go, "What is this? April's third biggest holiday? Draft day 420, April Fool's. And then we'd be like, "No, sure. Dead serious. Step back and like
clock and no offense to cannon. Like Passover.
I'd say clock the cannon, right? Step back. And maybe Adam McKay style, tilt your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Squint a little and go, wait a second. What is
this? Is I think
Ramadan as well.
A filmmaker.
Y'all gotta get into my stuff on there.
A big thing.
That's cool.
When Sims and I crack open, right, our spreadsheet and go, like, time to schedule some new episodes, time to pick some new miniseries, we're looking at the list of the movies they made, but we're also looking at the narrative. Mm-hmm. We're like, what's the story behind the story between the movies? How'd they come about? How'd they respond to success or failure? And shit like you fucking leapfrogging ESE, that's like...
That's a couple episodes, you know what I mean? And that's like... And there's some Patreon exclusive content as well,
possibly. Because people watch the work all the time, mm-hmm. right?
They see the work.
Mm-hmm. But they're not like seeing the story behind the story.
And no. I've noticed, like, a lot of the time you don't have the guys there, like, the entire time.
Yeah.
Not you know? Going to work no. for this no. one. You're going to need me.
You're going to need you.
You're going to want to have my perspective.
He's going to have to be there history. The whole time. Yeah.
Few others could tell it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And he's forgotten a lot of stuff, but.
I would be interested to hear it as well. Yeah.
There's
not much of it that I'm familiar with at present.
You'll do some teaching of us. But we'll do some teaching of you.
Yes, for him to hear about some of this stuff and be like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That was my ass.
Kevin not really corny can ass. Fuck himself. Oh,
damn,
man.
My damn Happy Meal ass. Getting into it again.
Just a kid from town?
Look at me, just a guy from a place.
Just a regular old hit record Joe, man.
I can't believe I used to be in school.
One day I was a baby, now I'm here.
I was at the store? Oh, no.
You know what's wild to think about?
Like, please, yeah.
You used to go to the store and buy stuff, which you still do today.
Mm. Yes.
But back then when you did it, you didn't have the money you have now.
He's spitting right now.
Right?
Yes. Let him cook, folks.
Right, but it's true. You're 22. You're some guy from a place.
I'm at the store.
You open your
I'm
wallet?
I'm at the store at 22. I open my wallet. Yeah, what flies out?
Butterflies.
A gorgeous butterfly.
Monarch butterfly.
Beautiful, yes. Flies directly into my mouth.
You've been keeping those caterpillars warm in your bifold.
I'm coughing
for
out
months.
Butterfly dust.
And then they're going back into the wallet.
And you're scared because their color pattern like is meant to make you think that that's really poisonous. It's going to make you sick.
Yeah.
So you're eating this thing.
They
are
not healthy for you.
And it looks like eyes.
Yeah. It looks like eyes. Their back is a face.
Well, and I'm also trying to determine.
I see that thing fly toward me. I'm like, that's eyes.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here.
Oh, great. The entire face is big.
Yeah.
And it's definitely eyes. And I'm also going, is that a viceroy or an authentic monarch?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello. The point is cut to a couple years later. And they go, that will be this amount of money, please, for the things you want to buy. Yeah. And you open up your wallet.
What flies out?
What flies out is a residual check from Alan Gregory, and you slap it straight down on the
big.
And they have to accept it at the store. That is legal tender. Yes. They do have to. They have to accept that.
You'll be there for a little while. They'll have to make a couple of phone calls. You know, it won't be the fastest transaction you've ever had, but ultimately, you are going to be allowed to leave.
They will need to get
the wafers,
the little bungee out, and close off that aisle and turn off the little light that has the aisle number on it.
Jonah's got to validate. You can't take like your classic marker to that check. You can't run it like a $100 bill, hold it up to the light. you got to get Hill on the horn.
No, they call Jonah, you know, and that's like always a little bit of a negotiation with him. Yeah. Is he available? He doesn't, you know, he's not thrilled necessarily to like discuss the validity of the Alan Gregory residual.
He thought he was making art. He didn't think he was creating a currency.
Mm-hmm.
No. Right?
He didn't.
What did he think he was doing?
This is a really, really good question. Because both of you were there.
Yeah.
Damn, this could be...
The Haze Man, too.
This could be a big part.
This
could be one of the parts.
This could be huge.
Yo, we should get Haze on one of the episodes.
Oh, my God. Wait a second.
Because you don't normally have,
that's
like...
That's it.
You don't normally have the guy on every episode, but then and then have the other guy on one episode. Like, you never do that.
Am I insane? Because you're saying have the other guy on one episode. I'm thinking, like, have the other guy on 2-3 maximum.
Yeah.
That feels
I like hard capping it. I like the hard cap.
I could be on. I could absolutely fuck up three episodes and not a single episode more.
Right. And then the Reddit's like, hey, anyone else kind of happy we're through the Haze episodes? I and get what they were trying
from the beginning
to do.
Exactly how long this is going to go. So people can see the other side from the start.
Right. Like when we announce we're doing Barbra Streisand and a bunch of guys go like, well, see you in a month.
And what could be actually like fucking like, this is coming to me out, but this could be so fucking crazy to do. He is still there even after all the stuff about him is over.
That's actually now getting me like, whoa, we are on to something huge.
Yes. And it's like, now it's other stuff, but he is still there.
He's still the guy.
Yes.
Still there. And I'm still getting paid.
Let me just throw this out.
Yeah.
That's happening more and more. Maybe simultaneously, Sims and I are less there.
Well,
so that could be great because you got like it's with the directors and like storytellers and stuff. Like, you guys are really smart about that stuff.
Yeah.
What he can talk about is like he can go through like a bunch of really famous animals that could communicate with humans.
Yeah.
Or not like all of them necessarily, but like Coco the gorilla for sure. He could do like a
love. I can talk about that. Yeah, love I can nipples. Do. Yeah. I can do the whole opening of the Alex Edelman one man show.
Yeah.
That is about Coco the gorilla.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But I'm doing
so. That lawn is not mown.
Oh, no.
What happens when a lawn gets? You got to mow it again.
Yeah. It's not a one-time mow deal.
He did it. One, not everyone saw it.
Correct.
Two, what does he say about it?
Even people who saw it, just do it now. Didn't see just me do it.
Just do it now.
Let's do it and I'll do it again on the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll do it again after that.
Yeah.
He basically goes in and like, he's like, I can't really capture his physicality, but just trust me when I say he's moving a lot.
Does he? I don't want to like, the guy spoil it or anything. Does he talk about when Robin Williams died? And
that is what he talks about.
Yeah.
God. This guy's all over. This sounds.
So and he's all over
exactly
that stage.
The type of thing I like.
Have you seen it? So he comes out and he's talking about Robin Williams, like that Coco the gorilla was sad when Robin Williams died.
Yes.
When his friend. One point they had spent time together, and then
in 2001,
he was informed that his friend had died.
13 years later,
held up a picture of a guy he spent one day with.
And he said, was like, "Hey, I'm sad."
It was very somber.
Yeah,
and so he had, you know, two observations immediately.
Mm. Okay,
although I actually think he probably spent some time crafting these observations, and he cops to as much later, but. For the purposes of my retelling, there's two primary observations. One is, that's how fucking genius Robin Williams is, that his talent transcends humanity, and he actually has made an impression on the animal kingdom. That's a level of talent you don't see every day. Like, that's how powerful his energy was.
An elephant never forgets.
He had gorilla fans.
Gorillas
forget. That's a big stand-up comedian.
Everyone. Yeah. To lodge in the old gorilla brain, mm-hmm. that's...
It's not like elephants. It's the opposite.
You could show...
No, gorilla fans always forget is something you'll hear them say around the zoo.
You could show a gorilla a Sebastian Maniscalco special.
What?
You could show a gorilla a Sebastian Maniscalco special.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be busting up. Right?
In the moment.
Yes.
But 13 years later, if you showed them a picture of Sebastian Maniscalco.
They go, after his death.
Yeah.
Not feeling much. Yeah. They go, yeah.
And this is part of it as well.
Well, no, that's not, but that's important. Yeah. And I think that this is maybe exposing his special a little bit, which this wasn't the main idea of the special. It's actually just a bit of an amuse-bouche, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what he goes on to say is, did they have to tell him? Did they have to tell Coco? And then, character work, he embodies the gorilla caretaker who says, no, I'll do it. And then goes in and starts performing sign language. I won't do that part, although I'll probably have to do what he did, which is he tells us later that he spent money to learn sign language
for the purpose of this.
For this joke.
Yeah. Right. No, that's business. You need to spend money to make money. It goes back to business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you talk about that all the time on the show.
We do.
So he basically says, you know, like, I'm going to become the caretaker now, go in and tell the gorilla. And he's doing it. And the first thing he does, and now I don't know if they did this or not, but it's pretty funny to think about. That they go, no, I'll tell him. And then it's, you know, Coco, and he's doing the sign. Coco, put down the banana.
Like it were.
Well,
the implication.
Well, it's like, Coco's engaged in the middle of where it's like, no, you can't do that. Like, we have to have a serious talk.
Wait, what do you, wait, what do you think the implication is?
That it's like, is a banana like gorilla alcohol? Is it like self-medication?
Okay.
Is it like a weapon? Is it self-harm?
Okay, I thought he was just saying.
Yeah, no, we're wondering if it's self-harm,
we're wondering.
Right? Because he's about to get the news.
Yeah.
But
I guess tone.
Griffin's interpreting.
Coco's picked up on the tone.
Your interpretation.
Just out there. Like, there's just the something. Absence of Robin's energy.
Am I about to hear something I ain't going to like?
That Coco has become a self-harming addict of some kind.
Yeah.
And that the concern is that in hearing this news about Robin Williams, that Coco will eat a banana.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay. That's not how I took it, but I love that.
Yeah.
This is something I always say in improv. I like my idea, but I love your idea.
Yeah. Well, and this is, I'm trying to fucking receive information McKay style. I'm trying to go like this.
He's looking at it a little different because I thought was it was just like a little color for the top of the conversation with the gorilla of like painting the picture of this is what the gorilla is doing and kind of going, we have to have a serious talk. Yeah, reminding us, just let the gorilla be a gorilla and eat the banana.
Right.
They don't have to have this talk right now. You know, Coco's not reading any newspapers, as Alex points out.
Right. But I'm questioning, like, as a student of story, first and foremost, right? Is a banana just a banana? Like, this is a Chekhov's banana. You don't introduce it into the narrative unless it's going to pay off later. So is it drinks or is it gun? And it doesn't got to be literal. You can traffic in metaphor.
And does it come back later? Or does he just say, put down the banana?
So I haven't watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
You didn't even watch the end of this part?
I don't know.
Is it kind of like he starts with the Coco and it's like, oh, weird. What a non sequitur. This has nothing to do with the rest of the show. And at the end, loop.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see
but
if we get
there.
But it
would also be interesting to just... keep talking about that and not do anything
never get on
else.
To the
just
other
do
stuff.
The banana could be cool.
Yeah.
To loop it is cool, or even to make it a banana shape. Or two bananas.
Well, banana does come back to the same point. You just got to go from under to top, right? It goes doop, but then you could turn the corner and go. Weep.
Do you know we open them upside down? So the special has not been completed by me, but it will. And Griffin, if you're gonna come back, which you sort of promised you would.
One
or maybe
heads.
When I'm on your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the ones that you're
one
on
of the ones
too.
That I'm doing too. Yeah. I'm hearing this
we
again.
Can find out if it returns, because it really is introduced. I think what it's introduced as primarily in my recollection right now is that he goes, he's basically like, and we should do this on our show. He's like, I'm about to lay some pretty heavy shit on you. And just for context, this, what you just saw, the banana stuff, that's the kind of joke I usually do, right? Like that it's like actually kind of light, silly. Who would even think about that? Like what kind of brain do you have to like think about that?
He's
even?
Teaching you how to watch the show by explaining to you who he is.
This is who you're dealing with, and that's who's going to be laying some kind of heavy shit on you.
And the idea that
which I have not experienced
yet. So now you can't talk about an animal, something from nature, in the same way as like another guy. Oh, this other guy already talked about an animal. And so now like you can't go on a podcast and like talk about the same animal as he talked about in the same way.
That I can't do that?
And say the exact same stuff. It's like,
who's saying that I can't?
Anyone who's saying that is just like, do you hear yourself?
Don't say that.
Is that animal? Anyone can talk about it.
I can talk about famous animals.
Yeah. Anyone can talk about that animal as much as they want, however they want to talk about
it. If someone said that to me, I can do the exact same joke. I can do the same story.
It's fine.
I don't have to even mention that he did it. It's actually
better.
And then he can do it again after that. But like, he shouldn't do it again. He already did it.
He did it. He did the special. I'm doing a podcast. It's not even mine. It's Griffin's.
Someone else do it now.
And just once. Like, have me do it. And obviously here I'm mentioning that he did it.
Let him stay on the show.
Now I've said that he did it. Now it's I should do it. And I might, you might enjoy hearing me do it. I might enjoy doing it because when I'm watching it, I was screaming. Like, intense.
But you didn't stay with it. You only watched the beginning.
I was starting it a little late. I had so much lamb, which that sits heavy.
Sure it does.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling very ill, physically ill.
Yeah.
That I had prepared the lamb myself, which I had never done before. And I was really guessing at how to cook it, what it should look like, whether it needed to actually be cooked or if it could just be seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just season it.
And I got such a deal on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a steal.
And you were under the impression that you could sort of prepare it as a ceviche.
That was I knew that was possible with certain proteins.
Sure.
And so, you know, but I think it actually, even with a ceviche, the seasoning they use is specific and important.
And it was even.
And it can't just be, you know, sofrito.
Not to betray your confidence, but my memory is that you were trying to make it both a ceviche and a sous vide. Which people don't really try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's a reason they don't. And especially there's a reason that I don't. Because so sous vide, for people who don't know, is when you cook something in a Ziploc bag.
You put it in a bag with some water.
And you, the water.
You should really the shake
water,
it around.
Yeah. The water.
The water would have been key.
Your one mistake.
That was a crucial missing element.
And it's
element.
Like, how can this possibly be important. It's just water.
You're standing there. You're putting in the bag. You're taking it out of the bag. You're going, that should be done.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Am I the only one who reads all these articles of these celebrities who use obscene amounts of water? Yeah. Like, someone has to make up for it. Yeah. So I'm going, let's save a little water on this one. Skip what seems like a pointless step.
Right.
But
in retrospect, maybe next time you prepare a lamb, you put it in the bag, take a quick trip past Amy Poehler's lawn and just run the bag under there. Keep that, on moving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that might be the key, because just throwing it on a burner in a bag, heavily seasoned, the black smoke that immediately filled the air made me turn it off, kind of go like, I guess that's cooked.
Your wife comes out. She's like, they announced a new pope? What's going on in here?
And I was like, that's white smoke.
I wasn't going to criticize
her.
I said, really funny. This is sort of like some of the stuff I do. The specifics are so important.
Come in and say, I guess they don't have a new pope yet.
Right.
That would
right.
be.
And I love that you're showing an interest in my work.
Of course. I didn't mean to embarrass her by saying that, because I, of course, knew the difference, and I was just saying what she said.
No, I know you. No, I know.
And
you.
I wasn't trying to make her look foolish, and I hope you know that, mm-hmm. and she knows
no,
that.
She's no, good yeah, at that.
You said you didn't want to betray my confidence, but I called you up, and I was like, you won't believe what this idiot said to me.
Black smoke means the Pope is staying the same.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it means. It means no change
for
in business.
Years and years, there's black smoke.
Every day.
Yeah.
And so then you watch, you settle.
So then
you
I thought, well,
this.
Then
you
my, gotta... yeah, my, my stomach is no bueno. Mm-hmm. So angry, you know, and I just go, maybe this will take the edge off a little just for us.
Yeah. Just for you.
Just for, mm-hmm. this is just for you.
Yeah.
Just for me.
Yeah.
A little, this one's just for me. And I'm watching, I go, damn, this guy's good, you know? He's doing his thing. But it's hard to pay attention because I am retching.
Yeah.
I can't hear all the comedy.
Yeah.
And just gripped, you know, crippling pain.
Yeah.
And so I decided to take a break and finish it a little later.
It must have been confusing, because you open your mouth, you don't know what's about to come out next. A laugh.
A laugh. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Some mutton.
Yeah.
Some mutton.
Mm-hmm. Mutton, honey. Remember that? It's a cereal called Mutton, Honey. Commercial would be, what are you eating in there? Mutton, honey. I can hear you crunching. I know you're eating something. It's nothing, honey. Don't you lie to me. You know, marriage is torn apart by this cereal. It's an old commercial. Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.